listening to the Bible 126 show.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
There's a line in Garp that you say you can look at the arc of your life and find it interesting. That's what's been for me. It's nice that it has been getting better and better. That's the only thing I pull out of it. I mean, that's nice that it keeps trying. And the fact that I'm offered these amazing things to keep doing stuff that keeps exploring different aspects, that's wonderful too.
The first movie was Popeye.
Yeah.
And if you remember, the opening scene is Robin in a rowboat in a storm. And I was just, here's this huge screen at Chinese Theater in Los Angeles. And I thought, that's Robin, my little boy Robin. Look at him. Eat your heart out, world. Here he comes.
Performing and doing all these things, we never acknowledge anything negative. Where it's, and if you do, it gets very violent, like the time, mm-hmm. what happens immediately after the scene you just saw is, he starts to confront who you are. So mm-hmm. I know who you are. And he would have really hurt Jeff's character if he'd gone any further. And that's why he goes, the hallucination guards against that. It's basically, it is freeing to create that character because you can really explore kind of where you've been and the aspects of why you would want to deny and that kind of whole mm-hmm. aspect of, you know, performing for the sake of just avoiding. For him, love is such a delicate thing that and even getting it back again, triggers another one of the breakdowns. Uh-huh. It's so fragile for him, and that's what makes it interesting. That's why I did it.
There's a sadness, and then you have to go, and there's also hope. I mean, a sadness, it's always like, you wish they hadn't happened, but they did. And the purpose is to make you different. It's what they call a Buddhist gift. I would call it the ultimate Christian gift. It's that idea of you're back, and you realize the thing that matters are others, way beyond yourself. Self goes away. Ego, bye-bye.
You're not easy on yourself in this show, are you?
No. You know, as an alcoholic, I talk about, you know, some warning signs, you know, like DUIs in a cul-de-sac, things like that. The idea of, you know, have you been through it to talk about it and see, like, you know, this is what you go through, heart surgery, you know, alcoholism. I went to rehab in wine country just to keep my options open. You know, these are things you got to talk about.
You want to talk about it? No.
Why is there such a heavy, heavy-duty problem with drugs? That addresses the psychology of a nation. That's why I talk about it. You try and tell people you do. Just say no. No, just say Noriega. No, beyond that. It is something much, much deeper. And yes, you're right. There is something wrong. But people are slowly waking up. The time is over for just sitting going, it'll be taken care of. And I try to address it using the only weapon I have, comedy. And that's all we do. And I hope people wake up. And they are. We ask for your help. And we'll try and help from this end. And we'll meet. And it will be a kinder, gentler nation one day. Thank you.
And we all have a great need for acceptance. But you must trust that your beliefs are unique, your own, even though others may think them odd or unpopular, even though the herd may go, that's bad.
I don't envision myself as a teacher or as I can't proselytize to people, even when we talk about drugs or anything. I'm a player. And in the sense of just in the process of playing, you can talk about some interesting things, you know, that there's things that, you know, why we've evolved to, you know, to make that connection, to go on, to do amazing things, to, and that moment, talked about this once, that there is a thing when you create, when you find that little tiny flash, when you find some idea.
It's like bliss. It's bliss.
Well, because the brain gives you the same reinforcement that it does with sex.
I mean, that's right.
And the reason the brain gives you a little hit of endorphin when you create is just to keep you going.
Here's a taste.
Yes.
Keep creating, you get another taste.
Because you're only given a little spark of madness. And if you lose that, you're nothing.
Basically, when you're really firing and it really works, it's like musicians have said it, or writers say it, it's just, you're just channeling. It's truly that's why you say that divine inspiration where it just passes, you're just letting it through you.
I just wanted to ask Robin real quick about what's his favorite type of movie in terms of ones that make social impacts or ones that are fun, loving, like Aladdin, for example.
They both...
I mean, I love doing both of them because I think in their own way they both have some effect. I remember people coming up after Aladdin and saying, you know, it was such a great thing that they could sit with their kid and laugh as much as their child. That, I think, is a great thing. It's like, you know, Sullivan's Travels, where you see people just having a wonderful time, especially in times like this. Well, also, why you do a movie is to learn, to expand yourself, to push yourself. It was like Peter Weir when I did Dead Poets Society. He said the power of silence, that he said, you don't have to do anything and make a point. And or the power of thought. But, you know, you learn something and you make a movie, which is a double bill.
Yeah.
And you get paid. But it's, I mean, that, if the truth is, if they knew it, I'd probably do it for much less.
I don't know how much value I have in this universe, but I do know that I made a few people happier than they would have been without me. And as long as I know that, I'm as rich as I ever need to be.
I mean, you know, some movies you do for money, and those are the dangerous ones.
Old dogs, we'll talk later.
The idea that you do those and you go, and you know why you're making them. It's a kid's comedy, you know it's going to be silly, and you know that's going to be up for grabs. But with something like World's Greatest Dad, it's like, no, you do it as a labor of love, and you do it with friends who you feel like you can do it with and say, hey, we're both in this together, and that's kind of wonderful. They're all done with this kind of love. You know, you commit to it, and you go, whatever happens, I'm in, I'm proud of it.
That's always what I want to do, is to try different things and kind of always change perceptions.
And change the rhythm. You can...
Yeah, break up. It is a rhythm. It's basically saying, okay, now we hit it, you know, there, and then, you know, hit a little harder and then back off and then go berserk, like, you know, with the stand-up, which is just free form, and then come back and play something so controlled, like in 1 hour photo. Those are all possible. And having that range really helps. For me, it's great. And but having great friends and family that just make life extraordinary. And a world... to still go out and see and learn about, which is the most important of all.
Just look at your own life and just realize what things are precious to you. That's what I did when I was doing it. You know, I would come home and just realize how extraordinary that there is. You have heaven in front of you. That idea that you have, look around and see the precious things, the connection with family, friends, you know, the things in your, and the people, especially in your life.
My kids are extraordinary. Did they go through rough times? Yeah, but you come out the other side and I go, God, they're so amazing. I'm so blessed.
I would hope that there would be, if there's an afterlife, that would have the places that I, or at least a version of the places I've grown that I think are extraordinary here. Mountains, lakes, forests, beaches with perfect curl. But also, I mean, a place almost like Venice. Where, I mean, there's times in Venice to me, I've been there when I just go, my God, what a glorious city. And even New York in spring where you can go, there's times in every different place that you've been where you say, this is paradise, or this is extraordinary. I would hope that there'd be something like that. And most of all, I would hope you'd come in contact with extraordinary people like the ones I've met in life.
The powerful play goes on and you may contribute a verse. What will your verse be?
Think your legacy will be?
God knows. I don't know. They had a thing recently where they showed a clip of all the HBO specials I did, and it was like going, I'm still alive. Why are they doing this? I don't know what my legacy is. Is that it? I mean, that I had a good time, and I think also that I've tried different things throughout my career, and I hope to keep doing that and to keep working with interesting people.
Make your life spectacular. I know I did.
Just keep going. Find that thing you love, because it's tough work. And my father gave me this advice when I said I wanted to be an actor. He said, have a backup profession like welding. But I think if you can find that thing that really gives you joy, that'll be it. Because for me, it's always been comedy and stand-up and acting, too, because of exploring behavior. But it's tough work, and if you can get it, even better.
Realize there are a lot of amazing people out there to be grateful for, and a loving God. And that, other than that, good luck. That's what life is about.